I'm going to read several different passages, and I want to encourage you to turn with me to these. I'll give you time to turn, and then probably to mark these in your Bible if you don't have them already marked. These verses, the first one is in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, and verse 22. Genesis 8, and verse 22. And here's what it says. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. People get all excited about global warming, and I'm sure there may be some truth to that. But there will always be day and night. There will always be a time to plant. There will always be a time to harvest. There will be the cold of winter. There will be the heat of summer. As long as the earth remains. In the book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, Psalms and Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and in verses 4 and 5. On Wednesday evening, Corey's been going through just some, going through the Bible, the books of the Bible, just kind of a survey, quickly, through one book on each Wednesday. And when he went through the book of Ecclesiastes a while back, he showed me some things that I've never seen in this book. Ecclesiastes 1 and 4, generations come and generations go. Now, a while ago, he was talking about the earth is going to remain. Generations come and go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and it hurries back to where it rises. And then just turn back to the book of Psalms, chapter 74. It's a couple of books back. Psalm 74 and verse 16. And here's what it says, Psalm 74, verse 16 and 17. The day is yours, and yours also the night. And this is talking about God, not us. You established the sun and the moon, and it was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. And you made both summer and winter. I want to visit with you just briefly. You know, it won't take me long, but I want you to listen to what I say today. You know, at the beginning of a new year, which we start tomorrow, two things generally happen. It's not hard to think back on the previous year. In fact, there's quite a bit of time spent on a review of the year past. And then we also look ahead with hope for what the new year might bring. And as humans, it seems to me that we are dead set on marking the passing of time. Time is very important to us, maybe because we don't have a lot of it. But the fact that 2017 is history and 2018 has arrived, for all practical purposes, that's just a technicality. As we read in the Bible a while ago, the days are still short, we know. That's not going to change. It's still cold. It's going to be cold tomorrow. There's still work to be done. That does not change. We may have a holiday tomorrow, but after that, we'll get up and we'll go back to doing what we did last year. But we can't help but view the passing of time with some measure of sentiment. There's a song that the Beatles used to sing. It's a pretty song. It said, yesterday all my troubles seemed so far away, but now it seems they're here to stay. I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, what does it say? Suddenly, I'm not half the man that I used to be, because there's a shadow hanging over me. Yesterday came suddenly. There is something when we're human about yesterdays and today's and tomorrow's. I think at least part of the reason for that is simple. It's because God made us that way. God is the one that instituted the cycle of morning and evening. In the book of Genesis, when he talked about the creation, he said, and the morning and the evening were what? First day. Day. That came from God. He instituted that cycle in which we would live. He set a pattern for the seven-day week. 6 days he created the heavens and the earth. On the seventh, he rested. And the day after the seventh, the week began again. He set a cycle in place that we live by yet today. He described creation in terms of cycles that I read earlier. There's a time for seed time. Things must be planted before they can be harvested. They must be planted before they can grow. There's a time. We need the cold. We may not like the cold, but we need the cold to get rid of some of the bugs and all of those kind of things that we deal with in the summertime. But we need the summertime. So he gave us a time of summer, winter, day and night. God set these things into place and into order. But the renewal that each day brings to us and that each year brings to us ought to remind us about God himself and the mercy of God. It ought to bring us to a fresh commitment of following him. There are many people who are here last December 31st, the last day of 2016, that are not with us today. God has blessed us with this day and this past year and hopefully a new year. And we always have a feeling, and I think it's God-given, that things can be better than they are, that we can be better people than we are, that we can make some changes. But yet, sometime in our humanity, we substitute hope in our own efforts to better ourselves rather than look to God for His help. How do I know that? Because the tradition of making New Year's resolutions is a reflection of that. And the breaking of those resolutions reflects the frailty of our trying to change without God's help. You see, I'm going to be better. I'm going to change. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do this less. I am. And then what happens? I didn't. And I fall back into the same pattern that I lived in last year, if we're not careful. Here's the thing, one of the points that I want to make to you this morning. If we're not careful, our tendency is to view life itself, and especially the future, as something that is at our disposal with a variety of options that are open to us. I'm going to do, it's my way, it's what I'm going to accomplish. It's what I'm going to change. All of these options are open to me, and I can do what I please with what option I want to choose. We tend to overestimate our abilities, and we fail to take into consideration what God's plans may be for us. And that's not only a bad mistake, it can be a fatal mistake. When we fail to take into consideration the plans of the one who made us and who keeps us day in and day out. The danger is that the plans we make in the flesh have both limitations and they have consequences that affect others and also us. How many times do we even consider in the things that I want to do and the changes that I want to make and the plans that I have for myself, how does that affect people around me? What's that going to do to others? Not just me. We don't live in a vacuum. Everything that we do affects other people. I always like to go back to the reference in James chapter 4, and I want you to turn with me, and I'll not ask you to turn again to something. But James chapter 4 and verse 13. And I'm going to read verses 13 and 14, I think. James 4. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Hebrews. James. Now here's what the scripture says. It says, now listen, you who say, now what are we talking about? We're talking about today. We're talking about tomorrow. We're talking about 2017. We're talking about 2018. You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. We will spend a year there. And we'll carry on business and we'll make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now, it does not say at all that we should not plan and that we should not think about tomorrow, but here's what he says. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, first of all, we will live. You know what? If it's not the Lord's will that we live, what's going to happen to all these other things that we've planned to do? They're going to abruptly stop. Okay? We ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, I'll be here to do those things. All right? I'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. The point of these verses and the point of looking forward to a new year is not that things are hopeless. It's not that at all. It's just a matter of trust. Verse 15 says, if the Lord wills, you'll live and do this or that. The question is, who are we going to trust? Are we going to trust totally and absolutely ourselves? Or are we going to trust the one who made us? And even though we do not know what tomorrow holds, we trust the one, number one, who makes tomorrow, and the one who knows exactly what tomorrow will hold, and all of our tomorrows. Our aspirations, our hope for a new year and better things also should not be just for our glory, but they need to be for the glory of God. We want to resolve to pursue His will for our life. We want to find ourselves in the center of His will. And then we can expect Him to bless our endeavors, whatever they might be. And you know, things are not always going to come together as we plan that they will. And then what do? At the beginning of this new year, I think we need to take stock of our life, our ministry, our plans, our hopes. And remember who it is that holds the times and holds the seasons and holds the purposes of life itself. And let's plan to honor Him and to be flexible and then to be prepared to be amazed at what He will do for us. I'm going to close with one more. This is in Lamentations chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Lamentations. Chapter 3, beginning of verse 19. Here's a man who's also come to a time in his life that he's remembering some things. And here's what he says. I remember my affliction. I remember my wanderings. And I remember the bitterness that I had at times in my life and the gall. I will remember them. And because of that, my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And that's what I want to leave with you today. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what's happened. Last year had the good. It had the bad. It may have had more bad than it had good for you. And you remember those things and you think about things and you think, are things ever going to be any better? Are things ever going to be any different? And yet he said, I recall this. And when I recall this, I have hope. And here it is. Because of the Lord's great love. And some of your Bibles will say mercy. We're not consumed. Because the Lord has been with us, because the Lord has helped us, these things that we've gone through and dealt with and faced and have been hurt by and so on, they have not destroyed us. They've not consumed. We're still here. Why? Because of how smart we are? Because of how strong we are? Because of how much money we have? Doesn't say that. Because the Lord loves us is why we're still here. And he says, because of that, we're not consumed, because his compassion never fails. His compassions are new every morning. And then he ends by saying this, great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. God will always be faithful. God asks us to be faithful. And we need to do our best to be faithful.